Welcome to Morning Soap. At Fusion Church, our desire is to see everyone attend church and hear from God daily through His Word. The Bible reveals God's responses to various situations, and through daily devotions, we can reshape our thought patterns, transform our minds, and become more Christ-like. Join us here every Monday through Friday as different pastors and leaders from Fusion Church provide insightful devotions and teachings based on the day's scripture. For the current soap reading plan, visit fusionchurch.cc/soap and join us as we deepen our understanding and relationship with God.
Let's pray and let's dive in. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much, Lord, for another day we get to come before you. Another day, God, we get to dive into your word together. I thank you, God, for every single sister and brother who's listening right now, whether we're live, whether we're listening afterwards. God, I pray in this time, just open our eyes and ears, hearts and minds to you, to your word, to your love, to your grace, to your truth, to your purpose for our lives. Thank you, Lord God, that you love us too much to leave us where we are. So help us grow today in what you have for us through your word. I ask and pray this all in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Amen. All right, fam, let's go. So as we're continuing our study this month on what it means to be a difference maker, we're set ourselves in Matthew 5 today. And in Matthew 5, we're hearing directly from Jesus, from his teaching, as well as also, as we'll see, his example of not only what it means to be a difference maker, but how to be a difference maker, right? I'm reading at the New Living Translation today, a little changing up a little bit, right? So we're in Matthew 5 and the New Living Translation. And this portion is entitled, well, the whole chapter is entitled The Sermon on the Mount. Big message, right? So begin here in verse 1. One day, as he saw the crowds gathering, Jesus went up on the mountainside and sat down. His disciples gathered around him, and he began to teach them. Verse 3 begins the Beatitudes. It says, God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied. God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. God blesses those who are pure, whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called children of God. God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you are my followers. Be happy about it. Be very glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted in the same way. This next portion is entitled Teaching About Salt and Light, verse 13. You are the salt of the earth, but what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It'll be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives a light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. The next portion is entitled Teaching About the Law, verse 17. Don't misunderstand why I have come. I did not come to abolish the law of Moses or the writings of the prophets. No, I came to accomplish their purpose. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not even the smallest detail of God's law will disappear until its purpose is achieved. So if you ignore the least commandment and teach others to do the same, you will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. Anyone who obeys God's laws and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. But I warn you, unless your righteousness is better than the righteousness of the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Verse 21 begins the portion entitled Teaching About Anger. You've heard that our ancestors were told, you must not murder. If you commit murder, you are subject to judgment. But I say, if you're even angry with someone, you are subject to judgment. If you call someone an idiot, you are in danger of being brought before the court. If you curse someone, you are in danger of the fires of hell. So if you're presenting a sacrifice at the altar in the temple, and you suddenly remember that someone has something against you, leave your sacrifice there at the altar. Go and be reconciled to that person. Then come and offer your sacrifice to God. When you are on the way to the court with your adversary, settle your differences quickly. Otherwise, your accuser may hand you over to the judge, will hand you over to an officer, and you'll be thrown into prison. And if that happens, you surely won't be free again until you've paid the last penny. This next portion is entitled Teaching About Adultery, verse 27. You've heard the commandment that says, you must not commit adultery. But I say, anyone who even looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. So if your eye, even your good eye, causes you to lust, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your hand, even your stronger hand, causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. This portion is entitled Teaching About Divorce, verse 31. You've heard the law that says, a man can divorce his wife by merely giving her a written notice of divorce. But I say that a man who divorces his wife, unless she has been unfaithful, causes her to commit adultery. And anyone who marries a divorced woman also commits adultery. Verse 33 is entitled, Teaching About Vows. You've also heard it said that our ancestors were told, you must not break your vows. You must not carry out the vows you made to the Lord. But I say, do not make any vows. Do not say, by heaven, because heaven is God's throne. And do not say, by the earth, because the earth is his footstool. And do not say, by Jerusalem, for Jerusalem is the city of a great king. Do not even say, by my head, for you can't turn one hair white or black. Just say a simple, yes, I will, or no, I won't. Anything beyond this is from the evil one. This next portion, beginning with verse 38, is entitled Teaching About Revenge. You've heard the law that says the punishment must match the injury, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say, do not resist an evil person. If someone slaps you on the right cheek, offer the other cheek also. If you're sued in court and your shirt is taken from you, give your coat too. If a soldier demands that you carry his gear for a mile, carry it 2 miles. Give to those who ask and don't turn away from those who want to borrow. Verse 33 begins the portion closing out entitled Teaching About Love for Enemies. You've heard the law that says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. In that way, you'll be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. For he gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good, and he sends the rain on the just and the unjust alike. If you love only those who love you, what reward is there for that? Even corrupt tax collectors do that much. If you're kind only to your friends, how are you different from anyone else? Even pagans do that. But you are to be perfect, even as your heavenly Father is perfect. Amen to God's word. All right. Take a nice deep breath. Get another sip of water if you need to. Let's dive in. All right. So once again, I love how we can read different translations of the Bible and get different perspectives, right? Different viewpoints. Maybe a word is translated slightly differently. It just gives a new perspective, right? Again, we're looking at over this whole chapter, with the lens of how do we be a difference maker, right? What does it look like to be a difference maker, and how Jesus is teaching us? Depending on the version you read, I love this chapter because the whole chapter is red. They're all the red letters of Jesus, right? It's Jesus teaching his disciples, teaching the crowds, teaching us, you know? So as you look at this, I have 4 points we go throughout today, 4 points of being a difference maker. The very first one is here in verse one. Point one of being a difference maker is put in the time and energy to go up the mountainside and sit down with others. So we're right back here in verse one, very beginning. One day, as he saw the crowds gathering, Jesus went up on the mountainside and sat down. Right there, verse one. So why the mountain, right? Because he was teaching everywhere he went. He was teaching in synagogue. He was teaching in the towns. He was teaching in fields on the side of the road. He was teaching wherever he could find a spot, right? But he saw people on the mountainside. And so when he's on the mountainside, it gave him a better view of the crowds, right? He went up on the mountainside, it said, so he could look over and see people, not in a way to look down, but look out and see who was coming to him, right? And not only was he able to get a better view, but also the acoustics were better, right? So if you're down at a town square, there's a lot of bustling going around, the marketplace, people coming and going. If he's in on the side of the road or down even like in a valley area, an easier area, right? Valleys are easier. but it's flat. And so his voice could only carry so far, right? Because he was all God, but also all human. So he had human limitations still. And those human limitations included being able to speak loud, right? So you see, he's up on the mountainside. It allows him to project more, and more people could hear him, right? Better acoustics, echoes more. And yet at the same time, coming up on the mountainside also required more effort, right? Took the time to find the space, took effort to walk to that space, you know? And so if we want to be a difference maker like Jesus, we need to follow his example. We need to be willing to live out what he's doing here and create space for people to see us and for us to see them. Create space for us to stop and sit down with someone. And not just to hear their story, but share our story as well and the good news of Jesus in these moments. Right? Because Jesus, he could have kept going. He didn't have to stop. As a matter of fact, if you look here, and no one asked him to stop. We see other parts in the Bible, other stories, where people ask him to stop. People come to him and ask for a miracle, right? People come to him and ask for a teaching, asking a question. But here, he was a difference maker because he saw the need around him without having to be asked, right? He put the time and energy in to serve and to love and to sit down with these people. And so should we. Amen. Make a difference in someone else's life. As we scroll through here, from verse 3 all the way down to 12, Beatitudes, right? We've heard this many different times over the course of our Christian walk. Maybe it's the very first time. And it's exciting, right? So our second point, as we go into what it looks like to be a difference maker. Our second point here is don't just be a difference maker, be a blessed difference maker. You see, these Beatitudes give examples of the types of people who are or who can be difference makers: the poor, the mourning, the humble, the merciful, the peacemakers, right? Because the whole is all of them. And whether it seems obvious or not, you know, some of these groups of individuals, like the poor who need him, the mourning, the humble, let's be honest, those groups of people are not the kind of people we typically want to be a part of. They're not typically people we want to label ourselves as. We want to say, oh, we're the poor in spirit, we're the poor that need him. We want to call ourselves those who are mourning, those who are humble, right? And yet, when you go through a season of realizing how much you need him, go through a season when you realize maybe it's a physical, a mental, emotional, a spiritual, a financial, a relational, what that need is, that poor who need him season, that season of mourning, the season of God, speak for myself, God work on your humility and humbling you, right? As challenging, as painful as it can be. These are the kind of seasons that help us to set ourselves up as God sets us up, not only for his promises, promises that he meets us there intimately, but he also uses these seasons to enlarge our hearts, to help us meet others in their own seasons then, when others around us are feeling poor in an area of their life, when they're going through a season of mourning, a season of struggle, and that it's humbling them, right? God brings us through these seasons first, so we can be a difference maker for others by meeting them where they're at. Not just sympathy, but empathy, to realize what someone's feeling, right? And then at the same time, on the second half, right? Those who hunger for justice, the merciful, the pure of heart, the peacemakers, the persecuted, those who are being criticized and rejected for being a follower of Jesus. This second portion here gives us the motivations for being a blessed difference maker, right? These are all challenging things at times. Seeing justice, wanting justice, being merciful, keeping your heart pure, being a peacemaker, going through persecution, right? These are all challenging things. And yet for someone who wants to be a difference maker, these are the kind of things we need to go through, right? And these become our motivations. Because if you want to be a difference maker, make a difference for yourself and what you think should happen, that's on you. But every verse of this, it says God blesses those who seek to think and act like more like him, who seek to think and act differently, make a difference, not just for themselves, but difference for the kingdom of God, right? And we do these things and we seek justice. It gives us the motivation to be a difference maker. When we show mercy, it gives us the motivation to be a difference maker. When we keep our hearts pure, when we seek peace, when we stand the fires of persecution, it blesses us. It blesses God's heart to bless us. And then it shows others how we're being a difference maker by thinking and speaking and acting and walking out like Jesus teaches us here. It's a counterculture way of the world. And yet, something we hear throughout the Bible, right? Just one more example of this. In Philippians, Philippians 2, verse 3 and 4, it tells us, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking out to your own interests, but to each of you, to the interests of the others. So Paul here, the Apostle Paul, is echoing Jesus in this teaching, because being these Beatitudes, what Paul is reminding us, what it means to be a blessed difference maker, it's all about thinking about others more than ourselves, right? I know Pastor Jason likes to give the Bible according to Pastor Jason, right? This portion here, the Bible according to Heather, if we're going to sum all this up as being a difference maker, sum this all up. Blessed are the difference makers who make a difference in kingdom ways over worldly ways. That's what I would say. Blessed are the difference makers who make a difference in kingdom ways over worldly ways. It's always better to do things the blessed way of God and seek his blessing for our lives than doing things the self-directed way, to try and make and figure out what it means to be our own difference maker. Making his difference for his kingdom is always worth it. It's always worth the struggles. It's always worth the seasons of hardship. It's always worth the persecution and the looking down of by others. When you do things God's way, it's blessed. Why do you think Heather's way? Heather's way is not blessed. Heather's way is full of mistakes and stumbling and just wrong turns, right? I have too many stories to even tell you on a half hour soap, but doing things God's way, it's different. And we see that we make it when we see to make a difference his way. Amen. This next portion here, teaching about salt and light. The point three today of being a difference maker, stay salty and shine the light of Jesus. Again, Pastor Danielle preached amazing message yesterday about this very topic, this very portion here she used. But she talks about, we talk about here, you are the salt of the earth, right? And salt is very biblical, actually. So salt was used for many things. For one, it was a covenant with between God and his people. In the book of Numbers, chapter 18, it tells us, whatever is set aside for the from the holy offerings the Israelites presented to the Lord, I give to you your sons and your daughters as perpetual share. It's an everlasting covenant of salt before the Lord for both you and your offspring. He's talking here to Israelite people and as a priest, right? And even in Leviticus too, we see it says, season all your grain offerings with salt. Do not leave the salt of the covenant of your God out of your grain offerings. Add salt to all your offerings. So salt was not only used, first off, it was used for a covenant between God and his people, and also a covenant with others too. Biblical friendships or loyalty contracts were sealed with salt because salt never changes, right? Even if you dissolve salt in water, you can boil that water and find the salt crystals again. Salt never changes. And so salt was a sign of an everlasting covenant or a long-lasting friendship because of the loyalty and the immutability of salt. It was also preservative, right? No refrigerators back in those days, no freezers. So you had preserved things with salt. There's also a flavor enhancer, right? As we use nowadays even, you know, helped bring out the sweetness of different things, make it more savory in different recipes, right? There's also a healing remedy to helping disinfect wounds and heal in medicinal ways. It's also a needed mineral for our well-being, right? Even today, you know, people add salt to their diet, or we have electrolyte water with salt added to it, right? Because it helps us stay hydrated, keeps us healthy and vital, right? Vital part of our well-being. And I love how, again, Pastor Danielle had an amazing message yesterday. You need to go back and watch it if you missed it yesterday. She used salt and salt water as examples, as a visual of what it means to be the salt of the earth. I'm not going to spoil it, and you need to go back and listen to it. I'm not going to spoil it, but just seeing, she said that the impossible is made possible when you do what you've been called to do, when you realize you've been called to change your environment. And she shows how salt changes its environment. When salt is added to water, it changes how things react in the water. It makes things lighter. It makes things stronger. And so salt is what we need to be, right? We need to be that kind of people that change the environment around us. And not only salt, but light, right? Jesus speaks here that you are the light of the world. And you read this, and you are the light of the world. Okay. But then I'm reading this and I'm like, that sounds really familiar. Why does that sound so familiar? And he says something almost similar in John 8. But catch this, John 8:12. He says, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. You catch that? So Jesus is teaching us, you are the light of the world. And yet he also says, I am the light of the world. So how can we be the light and he be the light? Because he shines his light through us. He is the light of the world, and we are the light of the world. We shine his light through us. And so we're being called to do as difference makers. In a world we all agree is full of darkness. There's so much darkness. And it breaks my heart. I know it breaks your heart listening. And things that break our heart breaks God's heart too, right? And so Jesus is giving us here this challenge. You are the light of the world. You are the ones I am sending to be my light, my flashlights, right? To go through and shine light in those places. And light is so powerful. When light turns on, whether it's the sun, whether it's a flashlight, whether it's a light in a room, your car lights, right? Your car lights, if you're driving down the road in the middle of the night, light bounce it, right? Light goes until it hits something. Light can travel almost instantaneously, right? It travels the speed of light. It travels so fast and it continues traveling in a straight direction until it hits something. You can't stop light until it finds the thing it wants to light up. Be that thing, be that example of Jesus's light that can't help but light dark things up. You keep going until you find that thing to light up, right? And how do we shine his light? By walking in the light. 1 John 1 reminds us in verse 5 that God is light. In him there's no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. When we walk in the light with Jesus first, he allows his light to shine through us. And that's how we be difference makers. It's different when you live your light, when you live your life in light instead of darkness. It's different when you come to people and have fellowship with them. It's different when you come to Jesus and say, Jesus, I need your help, and confess your sins to him. Confess your sins to others. Let him and let others shine their light into you, into the dark places of your world, of your story, of your past, even your present, right? When you want to be a difference maker, you need to make a difference first for yourself. And shining the light of Jesus, being the salt, and changing the environment around you is how we do that. Stay salty. Shine the light of Jesus. Don't let your light go out. Don't let yourself go bland, right? But keep seeking him, keep pressing into him. Amen. As we close out here, this last final point of being a difference maker, to truly make a difference, you must truly love different. You see here, Jesus goes through all these teachings, right? Teachings about the law, about anger, about adultery, divorce, vows, revenge, loving your enemies. These are really hard teachings. These are very counterculture teachings, both in his time and in our time, right? And yet, Jesus is challenging his disciples here and the crowds here and us here that all these things boil down to loving differently, loving those around us differently, right? In Matthew 22, Jesus t reminds us in verse 36, someone came up to him and says, Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Verse 37, Jesus replied, Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. When you love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and in Deuteronomy 6:5, it tells us all your strength too, right? You love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. It makes the way you love and treat others different. We can't love God and not love our neighbor. Jesus tells us it needs to be loving God and loving our neighbor, right? All these different things he's teaching us here in Matthew 5, obedience to his law, anger issues, adulterous desires, marriage issues, divorce issues, right? Taking vows or seeking revenge. These can all be mitigated and the negative outcomes avoided even by loving others differently. I love, again, different translations kind of look through and get different perspectives, right? So in the Message version of this portion, the Message version tells us, you're familiar with the old written law, love your friend, and its unwritten companion, hate your enemy. I'm challenging that. I'm telling you to love your enemies. Let them bring out the best in you, not the worst. When someone gives you a hard time, respond with the supple mo moves of prayer. For then you are working out of your true selves, your God-created selves. This is what God does. He gives us his best, the sun to warm and the rain to nourish, to everyone, regardless, the good and the bad, the nice and the nasty. If all you do is love the lovable, do you expect a bonus? Anybody can do that. If you simply say hello to those who greet you, do you expect a medal? Any run-of-the-mill sinner does that. In a word, what I'm saying is, grow up. You're kingdom subjects. Now live like it. Live out of your God-created identity. Live generously and graciously toward others, the way God lives toward you. Whew. Okay, message version, right? Again, grow up. You're kingdom subjects. Now live like it. When you know your identity, when you know who you are and who you belong to, and you not just know it, but you live it out, it makes you a difference maker. You love differently. if you've done, maybe you're doing now, emotionally healthy spirituality or emotionally healthy relationships, or read any book by Peter Scazzaro in his Emotionally Healthy Discipleship series, he talks about one of his key points is always make love the measure of spiritual maturity. It's not about how much Bible you know, how much you serve, how many weeks or days a month you attend church services, right? It's making love the measure of your spiritual maturity. And the message version tells us that, right? The message version tells us, and it's translation, grow up, right? Okay, you know? Not only that, but even in the Amplified Version, Matthew 5:48, in the Amplified Version, it tells us, you therefore will be perfect, growing in the spiritual maturity, both in mind and in character, actively integrating godly values into your daily life, as your Heavenly Father is perfect. So even the Amplified Version too, growing up in spiritual maturity means loving and not being perfect, not perfect in ourselves, right? But loving perfectly in love, loving with God's perfect love. Again, it's loving differently, and that begins by loving God differently, making him the first and foremost love in our lives, and that he gives us the God-given strength and grace and identity to live toward others then as he lives towards us. If you remember 1 John 4 tells us, beginning with verse 7, we're kind of jumping around here, but verse 7 begins, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God, because God is love. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us. There's no fear in love. Perfect love drives out fear. Again, I'm skipping around here, but see, over and over, even John is writing the same idea that perfect love drives out fear. We're made to be complete in love, his perfect love. That begins by loving God first, so we can be a difference maker and love others through his love, through his strength, not our own, right? Because God knows I can't love people in my own strength. Some people I love, my family, my kids, I love my kids, I love my husband. And yet, there's still some days when I don't, right? We all have those days when we love somebody who is close to us. And some days we need a little extra strength, a little extra grace, a little extra patience. And that comes from God. It comes from us loving him and him pouring into us. Those moments when our love runs out, because we're human, his perfect love, his unending love that never runs out, can then flow through us instead. And those are the moments when someone's the most unlovable, when someone is the most frustrating, that coworker, that boss, that friend, that family member, when someone needs the most love, is when we can be the biggest difference maker to them. The biggest difference comes when we need to pour out the most love to somebody. That's what Jesus is challenging us to do here. Like Peter Scazzaro says, make love the measure of our spiritual maturity as followers of Jesus. Be a difference maker through our love, not just our words or our actions, right, on the outside, but the true heart posture of loving people differently, of loving God differently again, and seeking to love Him first. And that empowers us to love others into what God wants to do through us and our love. Amen. So to close out here, again, our 4 points of being a difference maker today, of following Jesus' example and his teaching to be a difference maker in this chapter. Point one, put in the time and energy to go up on the mountainside and sit down with others. Point two, don't just be a difference maker, be a blessed difference maker, as he tells us and lists out to us. Point three, stay salty and shine the light of Jesus. And point four, to truly make a difference, you must truly love different. Amen. Oh, dear God, thank you for your word today. Jesus, thank you for your example. Thank you for being a difference maker for me, for my life, for my family, for my friendships. Thank you, Jesus, that you're calling us to be a difference maker in our families, in our friendships, in our workplaces, God. I praise you, Lord God, for what you're teaching us in this time. I pray, Lord, let us keep working and walking with you today. Help us keep being a difference maker, not in our own ways, but in your ways. Help us to stay close to you today, Jesus, and shine your light and be your salt for others. Give us the strength to love differently. We thank you, Lord, for all you're doing in us and through us. We can't wait to see what you have for us the rest of today and this week. I ask and pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, church, have an amazing rest of your day. Take care and God bless.